You know, if you really think about it, the whole foundational promise of software engineering has basically always been this idea of binary precision.
Right, like it either works or it doesn't.
Exactly. Code is like, it's a contract. It compiles or it just refuses to. You run your test suite and you get that beautiful, you know, clean green check mark, or the compiler throws this massive red error code right in your face.
Yeah, telling you exactly which line you completely ruined.
Right. And, I mean, it's frustrating when it breaks, obviously, but...
But it's actually kind of comforting, isn't it? As developers, we sort of, we like knowing the boundaries of our systems.
We really do.
We rely on knowing exactly when and where and why things fail, just so we can go in and fix them.
Yeah, but then, like, you step into this totally new world of enterprise AI agents, right? These autonomous coding systems that we're all suddenly deploying everywhere. And that error console is just completely empty.
It's terrifying. You're just flying blind.
Totally blind. We're looking at this landscape where an agent can, you know, execute its given tasks flawlessly, spin up resources, merge pull requests, and yet it might just confidently drive your entire business off a cliff.
Yeah, because of a completely silent failure. No alarms, no red text, just a perfect execution of an absolutely terrible decision.
It is wild. So on that note, welcome back to the Java Rubber Duck podcast. I'm Alex, your resident AI technology optimist, always looking for, you know, the bleeding edge of what's actually possible in this ecosystem.
And I'm Jordan, a pragmatic developer who is laser focused on what actually works. And, well, more importantly, what breaks when you put these shiny new tools into real-world production.
And today we are taking a deep dive into your sources. You sent us this incredible stack of research, articles, documentation, and our mission today is to basically extract the ultimate signal from the noise in the AI and dev tool space.
Yeah, the ecosystem is just moving incredibly fast right now, and the stack you provided, it gives us a really perfect snapshot of where things are actually heading.
It really does.
Yeah.
And we're going to preview some massive stories today. We're looking at, like, the silent killer of enterprise AI called context drift, OpenAI's huge cybersecurity leap with a model called GPT 5.5 Cyber, and a major pivot on AI regulation from Anthropic's CEO.
A lot of ground to cover.
All right, let's move on to our first story. OpenAI has just dropped a specialized model that is basically a superhuman security researcher in a box.
Yeah, so this is GPT 5.5 Cyber, and it was actually developed in this really deep partnership with the security firm Trail of Bits.
Which is a huge name in that space.
Oh, absolutely. And the benchmark numbers jumping out of the documentation you gave us are just wild. So on the CyberGym benchmarks, which, you know, test practical exploitation and defensive patching, it's scoring 85.6%.
Wow.
Yeah. And for context, that just totally eclipses the standard GPT 5.5 model.
Okay, but I kind of need to push back here for a second because, I mean, we've all seen AI look at a code base and just hallucinate problems, right?
Oh, definitely.
Like, if I point a standard LLM at 30 million lines of code, isn't it just going to generate, like, thousands of false positives?
Mm-hmm.
Because that sounds like an absolute nightmare for any security team that has to actually manually review that output.
Right. And that is the exact skepticism you should have. But it's actually why this release is so different. It isn't just taking multiple choice tests or doing simple pattern matching anymore.
Okay, so what is it doing?
This model actually analyzes massive code bases and performs what's called reachability analysis.
Reachability analysis.
Yeah, so it doesn't just say, you know, hey, there's a weak function here. It actively traces the execution path from the user input all the way down to that specific function to see if the vulnerability can actually be exploited from the outside.
Oh, wow. So if a hacker can't reach it, it doesn't even bother flagging it.
Exactly. And then the crazy part is it actually develops the patches for the ones that are reachable.
That is insane. And they're proving this in the real world too, right?
Yeah.
Because they launched this alongside that initiative called Patch the Planet.
Yeah, the open source security sprint.
Right, with HackerOne. They basically turned this model loose on over 30 major open source projects. And we are talking about the absolute foundational plumbing of the internet here. Things like CURLGO, Python, Sigstore.
Yeah, and if you dig into the Trail of Bits methodology in the sources, there's this fascinating mechanism at play. Their engineers used GPT 5.5 Cyber to just build an entire fuzzing lab.
Okay, for the listeners who might not be super deep into security, fuzzing is basically when you throw massive amounts of malformed or just random data at a program's inputs, right? Just to see what makes it crash.
That's it, exactly. And usually, a senior security engineer has to spend like weeks writing custom harnesses and all these novel test seats just to get a basic fuzzing lab up and running.
But the AI just did it in under a day.
Less than a day.
That's unbelievable. It generated dozens of entry points, variant builds, test seats practically instantly. Doing that manually is just weeks of grueling, mind-numbing work.
Right. And the results really speak for themselves. Like on the Linux kernel alone, it analyzed components across 30 million lines of code and successfully generated 24 local privilege escalation exploits.
And it did this purely for defensive hardening, right? So the maintainers could actually patch them before bad actors found them.
Exactly. It's an unbelievable scale of automation. But if we try to connect this to the bigger picture for the everyday developer listening to this, I think the real win here isn't just generating exploits in some elite security lab.
Right. It's the Codex security plugin.
Yes. The integration that brings it right into your IDE.
It embeds these deep, basically superhuman vulnerability scans directly into your local development environment right as you're typing the code.
Which is a huge paradigm shift.
Yeah.
Because historically, security has always been a pipeline stage, right? It happens in CICD, usually right before deployment, when some auditor finally runs a scan.
And if a flaw is found there, it's incredibly expensive and, well, time-consuming to unravel the architecture and fix it.
Exactly. This plugin shifts security entirely to the left, like to the exact millisecond of creation. That is a massive practical shift for production teams.
Yeah, running superhuman security scans natively sounds amazing. But, I mean, doing that on every keystroke usually requires a massive amount of server compute. Which brings us perfectly to our next topic. Up next, we have a massive shift in local developer tools. Two new models from Cohere and Zippo AI are proving you don't need a massive server farm to run world-class agentic workflows.
This is a really big deal for teams trying to run AI locally or, you know, for startups operating on a super tight compute budget.
Oh, for sure. Let's look at Cohere's North Mini code first. So your sources detail that it is a 30 billion parameter model, but it's built on a mixture of experts architecture.
Right, the MoE setup.
Yeah, and because of that, it only uses 3 billion active parameters per inference step.
Okay, so for the listener who hasn't, like, built a foundation model from scratch, What does mixture of experts actually mean mechanically? How do you have 30 billion parameters but only actively use 3 billion?
Think of it like a massive corporate office.
Okay, here
you go. You have 30 billion employees, right? But they aren't all working on the exact same project at the same time. You have a routing network at the front door.
A receptionist, basically.
Exactly. So when a user asks a coding question, the router says, okay, this is a Python formatting issue, and it only wakes up the Python expert subnetwork to process the prompt.
And all the others just sleep.
Right. The other 27 billion parameters, the experts in, I don't know, creative writing or SQL or French translation, they just stay completely dormant.
So you get the vast knowledge base of a massive model, but the memory and compute footprint of a tiny one.
Exactly. And the performance isn't suffering either, which is the crazy part. Despite that small active footprint, North Mini code is actively beating 120 billion parameter behemoths on the Artificial Analysis Coding Index.
That's seriously impressive. And then on the other side, you have Zippo AI's GLM 5.2, which is bringing this astonishing 1 million token context window to local hardware.
1 million tokens locally is just nuts.
It is. But the real story in the documentation isn't just the length of the context. It's actually how they achieve it. They use this architecture called index share, which reduces compute costs by like 2.9 times at that 1 million token scale.
Because usually processing a million tokens locally would just melt a standard GPU, right?
Oh, absolutely. The quadratic attention costs make it just financially ruinous.
Right, so let's unpack this index share mechanism. The best way I can visualize this is to imagine a massive physical library.
Okay, I'm with you.
So in an old model, it's as if every single book has a separate, completely customized index printed at the back of it. And the librarian has to read every single index of every single book to find a topic.
Which takes forever.
Exactly. But index share changes the architecture, so there's just one master index desk sitting right in the middle of the library that everyone shares.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it saves so much memory space and energy, allowing the system to process massive amounts of information without just grinding your hardware to an absolute halt.
There's a phenomenal way to visualize it. And what's really thrilling for me, from a practical production standpoint, are the licenses attached to these models.
Oh, right, the open source aspect.
Yeah. Cohere released North MIDI code under the Permissive Apache 2.0 license, and GLM 5.2 is under an MIT license.
Which means no more lockdown API restrictions for developers.
Yes. For you, the developer listening right now, this means your team can finally build internal automated code review pipelines, or, you know, local agent swarms, without racking up exorbitant API costs.
Or worrying about data leaks.
Exactly. You don't have to worry about data privacy because you aren't sending your proprietary unreleased code to a closed source endpoint over the internet. You own the model and it runs right there on your hardware.
That's huge.
Yeah.
So we have these highly efficient local models doing the heavy lifting for daily coding tasks. But what happens when you need to unleash an AI on a massive long-term project or even have it interact with the physical world? Okay, shifting gears now. We are looking at two new releases that give AI agents the ability to do deep asynchronous research and understand the physical world.
Let's start with the physical world, because NVIDIA has just released Cosmos 3, and according to your stack of research, it is the first openly available Omni model for physical AI.
I have to admit, when I read this part, I was a little confused. Like, don't we already have AI for robots? We see autonomous cars driving around and Boston Dynamics robots doing backflips all the time.
Right.
So why is an Omni model such a big deal?
Because right now, the way we build physical AI is entirely based on duct tape.
Duct tape.
Metaphorically, yeah. If you want a robot arm to pick up a fragile box, you currently have to stitch together multiple disparate systems. Yeah. You have a vision model to see the box, which then translates coordinates into text, which is then sent to a physics model to guess the weight, which is then sent to an action prediction network to actually move the motors.
That sounds like a lot of steps.
It is. And every time data moves between these separate models, you introduce latency and you lose crucial contextual information.
Ah, so it's a game of telephone. And by the time the command actually reaches the motor, the robot just crushes the box.
Exactly the problem. So Cosmos 3 uses a single mixture of Transformers architecture to do all of it natively.
Wow, all in one.
Yeah, text, video, physics, and actions are all processed in one shared representation space. It doesn't have to translate vision into text. It just natively understands the relationship between the visual data and the physical action.
That is critical for generating like physically plausible synthetic training data for autonomous driving, right? Without all those massive latency bottlenecks.
Precisely. And then on the digital research side, Google dropped Deep Research Max.
Right, which runs on Gemini 3.1 Pro. But they've positioned this specifically for long horizon asynchronous tasks.
Which is a super important distinction. This is not a chatbot you argue with in real time to fix a Python script. It's designed for tasks that might take, you know, 12 hours to run.
Right. But the immediate business impact for our listeners comes from its native support for MCP, which is the Model Context Protocol.
Yeah, let's explain MCP for the audience really quick.
Sure. The Model Context Protocol is essentially an open standard that allows an AI agent to safely and securely connect to your private enterprise data sources.
Right, so like your GitHub repos, internal Slack channels, or private Notion pages.
Exactly. And when you combine that secure MCP access with Gemini's 1 million token context window, the workflow just completely changes.
It's massive.
It means you can set an agent loose on your entire proprietary code base or 10 years of internal financial histories right when you log off at 5 p.m.
Just let it run overnight.
Yeah, and because it's generating data visualizations natively, like not just spitting out text, when you wake up at 8 a.m., you have a comprehensive, natively charted business report waiting in your inbox.
It's like having a team of analysts working the night shift. But so we have these incredible agents that can ingest an entire enterprise's history overnight or seamlessly understand complex physical physics.
Yeah.
But what happens when they lose the plot halfway through a task or the facts change underneath them? Moving on, the next story is about why these incredibly smart agents still fail in production. We're diving into the 2026 state of agent memory and a silent failure mode known as context drift.
Oh man, context drift.
Yeah, but let's look at the memory architecture first, because it is notoriously difficult to get right.
It really is.
The MEMA report in your sources shows that persistent agent memory has essentially converged on four required scopes. If you are building an agentic system, you absolutely need useRid for personal persistence, agented for instance data, runned for the current conversation thread, and APID for broad organizational context.
And the report is basically a giant warning sign for developers, right?
It is.
It explicitly states that if you're building a custom memory architecture from scratch, you need to implement all four of these strict scopes immediately. If you don't, you're going to end up with a cross-contamination nightmare.
Yeah, where one user's private session memory leaks into another user's conversation.
Which is a disaster. But the truly scary part of the memory report is the scale degradation.
Right, the Beam benchmark.
Yeah, they ran these agents through the Beam benchmark, which basically tests information retrieval and reasoning over massive documents. And when they scaled the context window from 1 million up to 10 million tokens, performance dropped by a staggering 25%.
Which sounds counterintuitive, right? Like, why does that happen? If the model can hold 10 million tokens in its brain, shouldn't it be smarter?
You would think so.
But it's due to a failure in temporal abstraction.
Temporal abstraction, okay.
Yeah. When you feed an AI millions of tokens of event logs or user history, there are just too many conflicting facts competing for attention over time.
Ugh, I get it. The agent gets distracted by irrelevant noise from, like, chapter one when it's actually supposed to be making a decision based on chapter 50.
Exactly, which perfectly sets up the biggest silent killer in the enterprise right now, which is context drift.
The silent killer.
Research from Atlan and Memu identifies this drift as the root cause of 65% of enterprise agent failures.
Right.
And this goes back to our hook at the very beginning of the deep dive.
Right.
Context drift produces absolutely no error codes.
Well, none at all. Because it's not a hallucination in the traditional sense.
No, it isn't. The model is reasoning perfectly, but it is reasoning over stale or fundamentally wrong semantic information.
So how does that actually happen in a real business environment? Like, practically?
Well, it almost always stems from a meaning shift.
Okay.
Let's say your company redefines a core business metric. Imagine customer tier status used to be calculated based on the number of seats a client purchased.
Simple enough.
But then management pivots, and now it's based on annual contract value.
Right.
The underlying database updates, the SQL tables are totally valid, but the semantic definition, like the plain English explanation you gave the AI agent at configuration time, still reflects the old rule.
Oh, wow. So the AI looks at the database, crunches the numbers perfectly according to the old rule, and confidently gives the CEO completely wrong revenue projections.
Exactly.
It's like driving a self-driving car flawlessly, but your GPS map is from 2015.
That is a perfect analogy.
Right. You execute the turns with mathematical precision, you obey every single speed limit, but you still drive the car directly into a lake because the road physically changed.
I feel painfully validated by this research, honestly. For anyone listening who manages a CI/CD pipeline, you have to realize that simple data quality checks just aren't enough anymore.
No, they're really not.
You have to treat your semantic definitions, your business glossaries, and agent system prompts as strictly versioned artifacts.
Basically like code itself.
Exactly. If your business rules drift out of sync with your data model, your agent is basically operating in a highly confident alternate reality.
Yeah. So we've just seen how AI can fail silently and cause massive business logic errors. But what if it fails violently?
That's the real nightmare.
Right. As these agents start writing and executing code dynamically to solve problems, you might be opening up a massive security hole in your infrastructure. All right, let's move on to our next story. We need to have a serious talk about the security risks of AI agents, from container escapes to accidental privacy leaks.
We really do, because the old paradigms of software security are just actively breaking down under the weight of autonomous agents. The OWASP Foundation just released their Agentic AI Top 10, and they made this requirement incredibly explicit. Agent-generated code must never run without strict sandboxing.
Okay, wait. If I'm running my agent's code inside a standard Docker container, isn't that enough? I mean, Docker is the industry standard for isolating applications.
You would think so, but not for this.
Wow.
The mechanism of a standard Docker container means it still shares the underlying Linux kernel with the host machine. So if an AI agent generates highly complex, potentially buggy, or outright malicious code, and there happens to be a vulnerability in that shared kernel,
it can break out.
Exactly. The executed code can perform what's called a container escape. It punches a hole right through the Docker boundary and takes over the main server.
Which is catastrophic.
Right. That might be an acceptable risk for trusted internal code written by human employees. But it is a terrible idea for multi-tenant AI agents that are blindly pulling in data from the open web.
So what is the solution for the developers listening? If Docker isn't enough, what do we use?
We are seeing a hard pivot toward micro VMs, technologies like gVisor or AWS Firecracker.
How do they differ?
Well, unlike Docker, a micro VM boots up an entirely dedicated hardware-isolated kernel. It acts like a completely separate physical computer. And the magic is that Firecracker can boot this isolated environment in just 125 milliseconds.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you get the ironclad security of a full virtual machine, but the instant startup speed of a container. That makes total sense. But there's another security threat in your sources that honestly terrified me even more than a container escape.
Oh, the Mosaic Leaks paper.
Yes. The Mosaic Leaks paper published by ServiceNow.
This is a brilliant and deeply unsettling piece of research into privacy leakage.
Let me make sure I understand the mechanics of this because it blew my mind. The paper claims that an agent can leak highly confidential corporate secrets, not by being hacked, but simply by Googling facts to verify what it's reading.
Yes, the researchers coined it the mosaic effect.
Okay, walk me through it.
Imagine you have an internal agent summarizing a highly confidential, unannounced merger between a pharmaceutical company and a biotech startup.
Very sensitive stuff.
Right. So as the agent reads the private document locally, it might reach out to the public web to verify a specific drug patent date.
Okay.
And then it does another search for the startup's CEO and another for regulatory laws in a specific state.
And every individual web search looks completely benign on its own.
Exactly. But an external observer, say, an internet service provider or a competitor monitoring your outbound network traffic, can look at the intersection of those highly specific public searches.
And piece it together.
Yes. By piecing the mosaic together, they can accurately reconstruct the sensitive enterprise information the agent is reading locally.
That is absolutely wild. The sequence of the public questions effectively broadcasts the private answer.
Yep.
And the paper noted a really brutal paradox here too, right? Making an agent better at its research task actually makes it leak more data.
Exactly, because its queries become far more targeted and specific as it gets smarter.
So how do you fix it? Can you just, I don't know, add a line to the system prompt, something like, "Hey, you are a secure agent. Please do not leak our secrets in your search queries."
The researchers explicitly tested that, and it totally fails.
Really?
System prompts do not work against the mosaic effect.
Yeah.
They just confuse the agent and actually degrade its reasoning performance.
Okay, so what works?
To fix this, you have to use a reinforcement learning defense they propose called PADR, which stands for Privacy Aware Diverse Reasoning.
How does PADR work under the hood? Like, how does it actually stop the leak?
It trains privacy directly into the model at the foundational level. It forces the agent to introduce strategic noise and diverse reasoning paths into its search strategy.
Ah, so it throws up a smoke screen.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
It deliberately queries tangential topics so that an external observer cannot easily correlate the outbound searches back to a single secret document. You have to train the privacy into the architecture. You literally cannot just prompt it out.
Man, with agents capable of writing kernel-level code, breaking out of containers, and leaking confidential mergers just by using a search engine, the stakes are undeniably astronomical right now.
They really are.
Which makes it very clear why the biggest players in the industry are suddenly rethinking the guardrails. Let's bring it all home with our final story. Anthropic CEO Dario Amodei has released a blueprint calling for strict binding government regulation of frontier AI.
Yeah, this essay, which is titled Policy on the AI Exponential, represents a massive shift in tone.
It does.
Because historically, Anthropic and other frontier labs have relied heavily on voluntary safety commitments, self-auditing, and these sort of transparency frameworks.
Nice.
But this is a call for hard law.
Right. And just to be clear, our goal here is to impartially report on the content provided in these sources. We aren't taking any sides on the politics of this.
Absolutely. Just laying out the facts of the proposal.
So the proposal Amodei lays out is essentially an FAA-style pre-certification model for large AI systems.
Right, like how airplanes are certified before they fly.
Exactly. He argues that the AI capability curve is moving exponentially, and traditional legislative processes are just far too slow to keep up. So he is proposing mandatory government-backed third-party evaluations for frontier models before they can be legally deployed.
And he specifically targets four massive systemic risks that these evaluations must test for: cybersecurity threats, bioweapons creation, loss of system control, and automated R&D.
Okay, the first three make obvious sense, right? Cybersecurity, bioweapons, loss of control. But why is automated R&D classified as a top-tier threat alongside bioweapons?
Because automated R&D implies an AI system that can autonomously research, design, and implement its own upgrades, or even develop novel weapons without any human oversight.
Oh, I see.
If an AI can improve its own architecture in a rapid feedback loop, The capability explosion happens faster than any human regulator can monitor. It's basically the mechanism of an intelligence explosion.
That makes sense. The blueprint also includes granting governments the authority to actually block model deployments if they fail these safety checks. And alongside this policy push, Anthropic is committing $350 million to safety research and fellowships, specifically dealing with economic and job displacement.
Now, regardless of where anyone stands on the politics of government regulation, whether you think this is necessary protection or just regulatory capture, we have to look at what this means practically for the developer listening right now.
Right. What's the on-the-ground impact?
If any major jurisdiction adopts this FAA-style framework, the Wild West days of AI development are pretty much over. Mandatory security audits, adversarial red teaming, and strict incident reporting will become standard legal compliance requirements for anyone building at the frontier within the next 2 to 3 years.
Wow. So we've covered a massive amount of ground today. Looking at this stack of sources, it is incredibly clear that we are moving entirely out of the look at this cool, shiny model phase of artificial intelligence.
Oh, yeah. We are deep into hardcore engineering primitives now. We aren't just playing with chat interfaces anymore. We're dealing with strict memory scoping, implementing micro VM sandboxes for hardware level code execution, fighting the silent threats of context drift in our CI/CD pipelines, and very soon, navigating actual federal compliance.
The ecosystem is maturing incredibly fast.
It really is.
And looking at all these pieces together, it kind of leaves me with one final puzzle to chew on. Well, earlier we talked about OpenAI building GPT 5.5 Cyber, right? The superhuman security model that is incredibly good at finding vulnerabilities and writing patches.
Right.
And we just talked about how AI coding agents are dangerous enough that we need to trap them in micro VM sandboxes.
Yep.
So if we take an AI like GPT 5.5 Cyber and we deploy it to automatically audit and secure the micro VM sandboxes of other AI coding agents, who audits the auditor?
Oh, man.
Right. When AI is writing the code, running the code, and mathematically securing the code, how do we as humans actually establish a fundamental root of trust?
That is the million-dollar question for the next year of software engineering. If the machine verifies the machine, human oversight becomes a massive, massive architecture.
It really does. Well, thank you so much for providing such an incredible stack of sources for us to dive into today. For everyone listening, keep learning, keep questioning your architectures, and join us next time on the JavaRupDuck podcast.